Take a seat and open your Bibles. We've got two Bible readings this morning. The first is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 4. If you're using one of the Bibles provided, you'll find it on page 902. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And next we're turning to 1 John chapter 4. So again, if you're using the Bibles provided, find it on page 961. We're at 1 John 4, verses 20 and 21. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be together. If you are new with us, it is fantastic to have you. As I was mentioned before, we have fellowship lunch straight after the service, so please don't feel like you need to run off. It would be great to meet you, speak with you. And also, in our newsletter, each week we have the sermon outline in there. So if you'd like to follow along with the sermon notes or make notes, there's actually room provided in the back of the newsletter there for you. So you have the outline and a place to make notes. Before we get into the text that we're having a look at this morning, would you please join me in asking our God for help? Would you please join me? Father God, we thank you that we are here this morning. We thank you that we are in such a privileged position in this country to proclaim you and to boldly live for you wherever we go. We would ask that as we look at these words that you have given to your church, that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to understand them, that our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be glorified in this church this morning, that you would help us, edify us, correct us for the sake of Christ. And we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the summer of 1967, the Beatles released a simple yet powerful anthem that the whole world suddenly started to sing along with. The song, "All You Need Is Love." It was catchy, it was memorable and deeply hopeful. At the time, the world was in division, it was in turmoil, there was war and confusion. But then there came this bold message that love is all you need. It captured something in the masses because everybody knows that people need love. But in saying that, there's something here about this tune that John would want us to understand. Love isn't just a word to sing or a sentimental card to send. No, love is something that must be seen, lived out and practiced in how we treat those around us. Friends, it's easy to join in with that chorus, "Love is all you need." But the real question is, what is the kind of love that we are talking about here? Because the love that changes the world isn't something that's shallow, selfish or selective. No, it's the kind of love that begins with God, that transforms the heart through the power of the Holy Spirit and reaches outwards to others in the likeness of Christ. In one sense, the Beatles were right. All you need is love. But in another sense, John would remind us all here this morning that the love that they were singing about was just half the story. Real love, says our apostle, real love starts with God and works itself out through his people in the way we treat others. To put it simply, it's not just something we feel, no, it's something we live. And as we'll see here this morning, if that love is truly alive in us, it will always show up in the way that we treat people around us. Now, if you've been with us over the past few months, you'll know that this isn't the first time that our apostle has spoken to us about love. Now, in fact, right after John introduced God and grace to us in chapter 1, he pretty much shifted focus to this subject in chapter 2 and has used the word agape, which is a selfless and sacrificial love towards others, a total of 36 times up until this point. And so what have we seen on love so far? Well, you might remember it. In chapter 2, verses 7 to 11, John urged that we would love one another because it's a commandment from God. And it's there that we saw that God commands his people to love because he has always wanted his people to walk in this world in the same way that Jesus walked in this world. In chapter 3, verses 14 to 15, John pointed out to us that we will walk in love because God has done a great work in us. In other words, love, it's the evidence that the Spirit has changed us from the inside out. And thus, we will walk differently to the rest of the world. In chapter 4, verses 7 to 16, John showed us that God hasn't just commanded this love from his people, but modeled it tangibly in the gospel. And then last week, in verses 17 to 19 of chapter 4, John pointed out to us that it's as we live this gospel model out towards one another that we will have confidence for the things to come. To which he reminds us again, right there in verse 19, we are only able to love in the way that God commands us to, love in the way that God wants us to, because he first loved us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Time and time again, our apostle has pointed to love being the evidence of a changed heart. Not just in word, but in deed. And the message that John would have us hear this morning is very simple and very much in line with what he has been telling us over and over and over again in this book. And it's this: true love towards God is always accompanied by true love towards our brothers and sisters in the faith. I'll say that again. True love towards God is always accompanied by true love towards our brothers and sisters in the faith. And John shows us what he's saying here in 3 points. First, in the first clause of verse 20, the fruit shows the root. We're going to see that. Second, in the second clause of verse 20, he gives us somewhat of a mathematical equation. 1 + 1 always equals 2. And then third, in verse 21, that we have our orders from headquarters. Three very simple yet incredibly hard truths that our apostle brings to us this morning. So first, the fruit shows the root. John says that by saying, if anyone says, I love God, and hates their brother or sister, they're a liar. To put this as simple as I can, church, the latter tests the former. To say that again, the latter tests the former, which is to say, and I'll put this in the positive sense here, our love expressed towards one another tests if we really love God or not. Now, I think the context of this whole letter is very helpful here in clarifying this. You might remember it, false teachers, they had come into the church and they were claiming to have a special knowledge of Jesus, even more so than the apostles. And they were downplaying the seriousness of sin. Some people, they followed these teachers and they had left the church. They had formed their own little groups and thus they were looking down on John's audience here. Now, I point this out to you because these teachers that had come in probably claimed to be full of the Spirit and love God very much. But by their hateful actions, in things like causing division, encouraging sin, tearing the community apart, well, it revealed the reality of their hearts. So John points it out to the church to say, you can't truly love God while mistreating your brothers and sisters in this way. In other words, love for God is tested by love for others. And in this case, they had failed the test dramatically. But let's not be so quick here, because this passage isn't just aimed at them. No, it's written for our edification as well. Now, before you start thinking to yourself, well, I don't have a seething hatred towards anyone around me in the church, nor do I want to take anyone off track with the way that I understand the Bible, nor do I want to take my thongs off and throw them at the back of someone's head. Well, it might be helpful for you to know that the hatred that our apostle is speaking of here is actually an attitude of the heart. An attitude of the heart which fails to show any kind of love in any practical or tangible way. Church, to put it simply, it's not just wrath or deception or punching or kicking or spitting that our apostle is speaking to us of here. No, he's talking to us about the absence of love as well. That, for John, that's a form of hatred. Which is to say, as Christians, we don't get to sit on the fence with this one. No, if we claim to love God, if we claim to have a relationship with Him, then we must be practical with our love in regards to the way that we show it to those around us. So what does it look like? Well, as you may have noticed, we had two readings this morning, and I wanted you to hear that reading from Corinthians because the Apostle Paul gives a description of love that helps us define our terms here. So what did he say? Well, he said, love is patient and love is kind, which is to say we're to be patient with one another's quirks and personalities and mistakes. You may have noticed it, we are very different people from each other. We have a lot of different things going on, so let's be kind to one another when someone might have a different take or view to you on something. And stay calm when people don't get things right. People make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Love doesn't envy, nor does it boast. I don't think I need to state the obvious, but pride is the absolute poison to a loving community. And so in your relationships with one another, don't think more highly of yourself and don't look down on those around you. We're all in differing stages of life, understanding and maturity, so consider how you might get around those who might not be doing so well and use your gifts to lift them up, not to domineer or intimidate them. Love isn't arrogant, nor is it rude. Brothers, sisters, let's think about the context of a Sunday morning here. Let's keep in the mindset of how to serve, of how to welcome, how to encourage, how to be friendly, how to be hospitable to one another. There are so many people that are walking through those doors on a Sunday morning and walking into a room full of strangers. Let's continue to show them what it is to feel welcome. Love doesn't insist on its own way or is irritable or resentful. Being in a community full of people that have had hard weeks or bad experiences or deep hurts or spiritual trauma, don't react or get annoyed when people might seem a little standoffish, defensive, or distant. No, love puts others first, even when it might cost you. Love doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth, which is to say, sometimes we are going to have hard chats with one another because we can see harm coming in the horizon. Love doesn't leave people. It doesn't abandon people. No, it causes truth to be front and center in our relationships so as to bring freedom, not to gloat over others' shortcomings. These are just some of the ways in how we might practically love one another here at Grace Christian Church. No one said it would be easy. In fact, it's not easy. It's not easy, but it's what we are called to do. This is why Paul goes on to say at the end of that wonderful, beautiful passage there, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and get this, endures all things. In other words, love sticks it out and doesn't give up, even when things get hard. And unlike the South Perth Yacht Club or being a paid-up member of the West Coast Eagles, we're in such a unique situation here in the church. And that's because we're family. We're family. I mean, isn't that how the Bible describes us? Doesn't it call us the children of God? Doesn't it say that we're brothers and sisters in Christ? And I mention that to you because if our physical families teach us anything, it's that we don't get to choose who's in or out. Now, we get what we're given. And that can be the best, but also the hardest of situations. My family absolutely loves my grandma and grandpa. Now, they live a fair way away from us, and so we don't get to see them all that often, but when we do make plans to go see them, we always have a great sense of excitement. And that's because they are such wonderful, loving people. My grandpa has a great sense of humour. He's from Barnsley. He was a bare-knuckle boxer and a miner in Yorkshire. And he always loves to talk about Christ's faithfulness. And my grandma always is trying to feed us. We always leave happier and fuller than when we arrived. It's great to have family like that. We love to see them. And to some extent, we ought to be like that with each other as well. We ought to look forward to seeing each other whenever we can. Maybe that's just going to be once a week on a Sunday. Maybe we're going to gather a little bit more through the week. But we should have an affection towards each other because we share in something so much deeper than just a hobby or a footy club. We're family. The Bible says we've partaken in one baptism. We have the same Spirit, we have the same Saviour. We have the same Heavenly Father. In a real, very real sense, we are family here at Grace Christian Church. And not just here at GCC, mind you, but with Christians all over Armidale, all over Perth, all over Australia, who are in other congregations. In fact, wherever the gospel has gone, wherever people have put their trust and their faith in Christ alone and received the Holy Spirit, they are our family. They are our brothers and sisters, which means we have spiritual siblings from every tribe, nation, tongue, and people from all over the world. But like any family, and thinking more so in the local church here now, it can be very hard relationally at times. It can be hard with family. But at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, that's what God has made us. And John's saying, you can't claim to love God if you hate and neglect your brothers and sisters around you. So that's first, our love expressed towards one another tests if we really do love God or not. Second, John's logic here is almost like a mathematical equation. It's simple, it's direct, it's undeniable. Now, I just want to preface this by saying I'm not very good at maths. I'm not good at it. But even I know that if one side of the equation doesn't balance, something's wrong. For example, if you say 1 plus 1 equals 3, it doesn't matter how passionately you argue it, it doesn't add up at the end of the day. Well, John says something similar here. He applies it to love for our brothers and sisters. He says, for he who doesn't love his brother or sister whom he has seen can't love God whom he hasn't seen. Notice that. John's essentially saying if you love God, you will love the brothers and sisters. But if you do not love your brothers and sisters, you don't love God. There's no fuzzy equations here in John's theology right throughout this book. No grey areas, no exceptions, even for the difficult or the different. No, to love the invisible God is to love the visible people he's placed around you. And if love for them is absent, well, things just don't add up. Church, in John's mind, it's inconceivable to claim a deep affection for a God that you can't see while withholding love from people made in his image, who have the very same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, it's as he simply puts it here, the way we treat one another is the visible proof, the visible outworking, we might say, of the invisible relationship that we claim to have with God. And so John, he puts the question to all of us this morning. Does what I confess towards God plus what I do with those around me add up? Does what I confess towards God plus what I do with those around me add up? Last thing I want to point to you out to you is found there in verse 21. John says, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love their brother or sister. Again, this isn't anything that we haven't heard before. In fact, John, he's only repeating what Jesus said to him and the other apostles on the night that he had washed their feet. Jesus said in John 13, love one another as I have loved you. This is an imperative now. You must love one another. And so John, he says, whatever way you cut the cake, John is saying, he's saying to us here, if you truly love God, if you really love his son, if you're really filled with the Spirit, then you'll love one another. That's the orders from headquarters, we might say. So as we end our time in this passage this morning and turn our attention to the Lord's table in just a moment, I just want to get extremely practical with you here in applying what we've heard to four particular areas in the life of our church where I think we need to really reflect on what's being said here. First, with our marriages. Now, I know not everyone in this room is married, and some people don't desire that. That's totally fine. But for you that are married, our marriages are the proving ground of agape love. Now, with a gathering of our size, I can safely presume that some people know hurt and pain within the context of marriage. I can't imagine some of the things that some in this place may have felt towards their spouse. So please don't hear me downplaying how hard things can be. Yet our good God has ordained that our love for him would be manifested, yes. Yes, even towards our spouse. So next time there's a rough patch, a hard season, a hurt, remember, your marriage gives you the best opportunity to live the truth of this passage out. Our love for God must be shown in our marriages. But hear this, God will not reject anyone who comes to him and asks him how to love their spouse in a more God-honoring way. Second, with our church relationships. Now, you may have noticed that over the last couple of years, Grace Christian Church has grown quite a lot. Now, the city of Armidale and the surrounding areas is a really interesting place because many people who have come to this church have known each other previously because you're either related, you went to school with each other, or even came from the same church circles. And so the challenge is, not everybody who walks through those doors on a Sunday morning is going to be known to you. And so reflect on who you gravitate towards. Is it just those that you're related to? Is it just those that you have known previously? Or are you discovering new and great gospel-centric relationships here at GCC? We're told to love all the brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter who they are or where on earth they've come from. Can it be challenging? Absolutely. But God's grace is sufficient for all our needs. Third, with church relationships, can come church hurts. As we heard before, we're not just a group of people interested in a historical character that's doing book club each week. No, we are the family of God and we are spiritual siblings. Yet with any family can come hurt, can come spiritual bruises and resentment, but the word of God would call us, my dear brothers and sisters, to unity. Not just for our sake, but for the sake of Christian witness in this world. Now, this isn't to deny that there might be some really serious things that need serious attention. But wherever possible, wherever you can heal those breaches, those schisms and chasms with others in the congregation or with others that might be in other congregations who are real believers, then we are called to do so. We're called to do it. Because that's an expression of the love that we have towards our God manifesting itself in our life. And fourth, I might say, with our service to one another. You might say that if you've chosen Grace Christian Church as your home, then this is the place that you are learning to outwork your faith as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I want to point this out to you this morning because this is the perfect place for you to come and be fed, but also to serve. You know, that's the opportunity that we get every single Sunday, to be fed, but also to use our gifts to serve others in the body. Not everyone's going to be like you. Not everybody is going to be easy. Not everyone is going to click with you. But isn't the gathering of God's people the perfect place to come and learn and mature your love amongst a group of people that you didn't get to choose in the first place? Isn't the gathering of God's people the perfect place to come and learn to love in ways that you never would out there in the world, to serve in ways that you never thought possible? Well, maybe you could ask God who you should be serving and how you can be serving this week. All you need is love? Well, that's half of it. No, we need God so that we can love. And that's exactly who we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself, because of Christ's work, he has reconciled us to our Heavenly Father. If you have called upon the name of the Lord, you have been rescued, you have been redeemed, you have been washed clean, you have been adopted into the family. And what a wonderful blessing the local church is, brothers and sisters. It's a place where we can make friends with people we never would have in any other situation. It's a place where we can make mistakes and know that we're surrounded by people who are loving and gracious and who we're in covenant with. It's a place where we can grow and mature our love towards others as we learn to serve our living God together. And in all of this, we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're not doing it in our own strength or power, but in the strength of our living God. Would you pray with me, and then we'll come to our Lord's table together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for our Saviour, and we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit who is at work in this church. We thank you that you have filled us, that you have lifted our eyes to Christ, and though we stumble, though we go through many dark valleys, though we go through times of trepidation and doubt and faithlessness, you are consistent. Your rod and staff continually guiding us, your love never wavering. We ask that you would use this place for your glory, to make disciples of Jesus, and for the advancement of your kingdom. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.